Welcome to the Crossings Church podcast, where we connect people to God and others. And now, here's this week's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Memorial Day. I just want to say something right up front. Last week, I mentioned our long-term friend at Crossings and just mentioned praying for Chuck because battling with the kidneys. Chuck's here today. Serving, and he's here with his kidneys working. That's really cool. So keep praying for Chuck that he can just be 110% and super pumped about that. Memorial Day. This is that day that our nation pauses to remember our war dead. And I think it's really important as a church that we recognize that there are people that literally gave all. And in our current time, it's not like we're thinking back to different generations that fought in our revolution or the Civil War, Spanish-American, World War I or II, Vietnam, Korea. But we have young men, young women that have served recently, and we've got families in our town, in our state, in our country, that grieve the loss of a loved one that died serving our country. And that's heavy, but it's meant to be. I think that a people that don't remember the sacrifices that have been made for our freedom is a people that doesn't deserve that type of freedom. And I think it'd be really cool this morning if we just stood together and prayed for families that are just torn apart today. Because we honor all the fallen vets from all our conflicts, but especially those that have family members that presently are grieving the loss of a son or a daughter, a husband, a wife. Let's pray for them. Father, we thank you that there are people in this nation that are willing to serve. We thank you, Lord, for those that have given all, Lord, and they laid their lives down for others. I pray, Lord, for their families today. We just ask, would you comfort them? Would you bring meaning to them? Would you be close to them? You say, Lord, in your word that you are near the brokenhearted. And I pray, Lord, comfort the families of the fallen today. We love you. We thank you. And we pray you be glorified. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. You can be seated. We've been talking about life in the Spirit, life in the Spirit, and this has been fun for me because we've been able to talk about things such as, if you're a Christian here today, it's the Holy Spirit that first convicted you. It's the Holy Spirit that when you committed your life to Jesus, he came in and he took up residence in your life, that believers are fueled by, changed by, born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. So there aren't Christians that like, yeah, I'm a Spirit Christian, I'm not. You're all born of the Spirit. You're all have the Holy Spirit living in you if you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose again. We talked last week that it seems that though we're all born of the Spirit, some people really aren't super filled with the Spirit. It's like they ignore the work of the Holy Spirit in their life, and they become like that dry sponge. We had a sponge up here last week that's out in your garage. It's dry, crusty, and sometimes our lives look like that dried up sponge, and we're still a sponge, or you're still a Christian, but we need to invite the Holy Spirit to come, immerse every nook and cranny of our lives and make us pliable and just really fill us with him. Because it's the Holy Spirit that as a Christian, he leads you, he guides you, he strengthens you. He gives you the ability to live a right life. And it's desperate that we have the Holy Spirit not just making you new, but actively being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, why is this important? Some may say that, well, it's important for all the reasons I mentioned, and that would be very true. Sometimes we get sidetracked with the Holy Spirit, we would think that, well, the Holy Spirit's to make services more exciting. That may be true. If you encounter the living God, how many of church should be more exciting? I mean, I think of all things. Now, I bag on my being brought up charismatic sometimes, and I don't mean to, because I've learned so many great things growing up by a mom that believed. Like, when I got sick, I'd be like, Mom, and I would be sick. Like, on a Sunday, I'm sick, Mom. Mom would say, boy, get up. We'll take you to church, and Jesus will heal you. That's how it was, man. We didn't have sick days for church. Why? Because you went to church to get healed. Why would you stay home? And so my mom had, I was in this environment of faith. And so as a result, our charismatics growing up were very non-boring at church. We get excited. We do things like, they call it a Jericho March. How many's ever seen something like that? And everybody in the church would jump up. I'm not suggesting we do this, so don't get scared. And you guys, this is your first Sunday. You're like, what did I come to? They would all jump up and they would start marching around the church like in a conga line. It was like da 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 da. But it was more exciting than that because they were worshiping God, like, you know, Jesus beat the life out of the devil, and we're running around the church and it was exciting. As a kid, you didn't sleep through church. No way, man. There are things happening, and then someone would come in all evil, and they cast the devil out of them. That's fun. As a kid, you're like, that dude's growling and saying weird things, and someone said, Jesus' name, shut up, get out. And you're like, where's he going? You didn't sleep in church, man. But I grew up knowing that God's powerful. Did we do everything right? No. Did we read our Bibles about the Jericho March? No, because obviously they marched around and knocked the walls down. I'm like, we just paid for this building. We didn't get everything right, but the thing I love about that is there was a sense that God can and will do anything. And many times he did. Why does that happen sometimes with imperfect people and sometimes with people with absolutely perfect theology? It seems as if God moved and something miraculous happened, we'd be like, didn't happen here. No, we're against that. I think sometimes we both throw the baby out with the bathwater, that we're not just empowered with the Holy Spirit to have good services. You're not just filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit to live a good life, although that is a byproduct, and he will empower you to do that and guide you. But we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to get some things done. We forget that the gifts of the Spirit and the work of the Spirit oftentimes has very little to do with church services, but has everything to do with our effective living for the kingdom of God. There are some verses. I want to start with Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. And I'm going to run through a bunch of verses and talk about how the Holy Spirit fills you, how he comes into the life of the believer to empower you to be a witness. So Zechariah 4, 6, it says, so he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Now, you got to understand what's going on. There's a prophecy that the temple's going to be rebuilt. This seems like a big task. It doesn't look like it's going to be able to happen. It's out of their reach. And the Lord steps up and he gives this prophecy through Zechariah saying, I'm going to get this done myself. At the end of the day, it's not by your strength. It's not going to be by your engineering. It's not going to be by your money. It's not by any of that. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. I'm going to get it done. Can I say this about us in our lives? Should you work hard? Yes. Should you read your Bible? Absolutely. Should you come to church on Memorial Day weekend? Thank you. Should you do all these things? Well, yes, you should. But at the end of the day, your life is going to be effective and your life will be built not because you were just great, but because the Spirit of God did something in you. Do you know, I believe with all my heart that when you were born into the kingdom of God, God had a design and a plan to create in you something that's awesome, and it won't be created by you just making a little project. It has to be born of the Spirit of God. Psalms 127:1 says this, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guard stands watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food. He grants sleep to those he loves." Again, there's this Old Testament promise that God's going to make things happen. Unless he does, it's not good. How we get things done in our Christian life is through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's God the Holy Spirit working in you that gets things done. So, Acts 1:8, New Testament, Jesus says this. Jesus is about to leave the scene. We've talked about the great bookends, Mark 1:8. You can write that down. Mark 1:8, where John the Baptist says, "I baptize you with water, but the one coming after me will baptize you in the Holy Spirit." So this is John's proclamation. So Jesus does his whole ministry. Before he dies in the upper room, he's explaining to the guys that, hey, it's better that I go away so that the Holy Spirit will come. And now he's died on the cross for the sins of all the world. He's risen again. He's taken the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And now Jesus is about to ascend back to the Father. And here's what he says. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So he says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses. Where? He just draws a circle. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. I'm absolutely convinced today that we receive power from the Holy Spirit not to have fun church services. That is no mark of being Spirit-filled. As exciting as a Holy Spirit movement and a service can be, that's not really the mark. You have received power from the Holy Spirit because your life intersects lives that mine doesn't, that others don't. You are Jesus to some people that desperately needs God, that he loves so much. And you can't go in there flat-footed. If you build the house, you labor in vain. Unless the Lord does this work, it's not going to happen. And you need the Holy Spirit's power to become a witness. What does that look like? What does that look like? I was at A.G. Edwards & Sons. It's Wells Fargo now. They were bought out years ago. And I was in the telephone department. And so at this point in my life, I'm in my early 20s. I've seen plenty of Jericho marches, and I loved exciting church. Still do. I'd rather have exciting church and boring church any day. So here I am at A.G. Edwards & Sons, and all I knew was all my friends at work needed Jesus. This is what I knew. I didn't know how to bring it up to them. I had just gotten out of active duty Army, and these guys were vile. They said stuff that I thought I heard all the cussing. Who's ever been in the military here? And who's ever had drill sergeants or people in your units that could cuss like so amazingly well? You're like, wow, can you write that down? Cussing was an art to them. But these guys that I worked with at A.G. Edwards in the telephone department, they were worse than anything I'd served with. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't know that was a thing. I knew they needed Jesus in the worst kind of way. So what I did is I started doing a Jericho march. No. I'm just seeing if you guys are paying attention. I started marching around the thing. And they were like, wow, God must be real. And no, that's not what happened. What I did was I took this simple verse, Romans 3:23, and I wrote it down and I put it on the wall in front of my desk. And Romans 3:23 says what? If you've paid attention at Crossings, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Boom. And I let that truth just marinate. Guys, like, what's that? Bible verse, man. Means that all of us have blown it. About a month later, I wrote my next verse. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Boom, right on my wall. More Bible verses I see. Yeah, man, this one means that we would have a month to discuss it and talk about it. Boom, God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Another verse. And I just put the entire Romans Road up on the wall. And there'd be times I'd watch the most unsaved guy sit there reading it. They didn't know I walked in the back of the shop. And they were like, reading these verses. And do you know, God did some amazing things at A.G. Edwards & Sons. All but one of those guys in that shop, there were six guys, five gave their lives to Jesus. Radically, like guys that were addicted to drugs, alcohol, racism, all kinds of stuff, man. Surrendered to Jesus and transformed. I had one stockbroker grab me one day, pull me aside and say, "Trev, what the blank did you do to Bob?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" Now, this is far from the Jericho March, right? I said, "I don't know. What are you talking about?" They're like, "I saw him nice to somebody that just hit his new truck today. In fact, he got out and hugged them." And this guy was known to be the meanest, nastiest guy ever. And it scared the stockbroker when he saw it. He was like, "Oh my gosh, what happened?" We had exciting things where people just, the Holy Spirit gave some people just insight. I mean, we're talking new Christians that they came up and said, "Hey man, I just walked by you and I really felt like I need to tell you this." And they knew that God put it on their hearts, and people would cry in the middle of workplaces. And it was God doing something that was not demonstrative or not exciting in the way we would say, but it was powerful and you couldn't deny it. Where you just sensed the power of God working in ordinary circumstances. And what I have found is consistently when we just live out the gospel in our day-to-day lives, the Holy Spirit seems to show up in a big way. Now, it takes some nerve. I remember when I wrote my first Bible verse with a marker and a piece of paper. How many know I was nervous? I was a new guy. I was a young guy there. And I'm like, "Oh, boy. For all of sin to fall short of the glory of God. Let's see where this takes us." Boom, on the wall. And it wasn't like day one, everybody said, "Oh, praise God, there's scriptures on the wall." No. But as the gospel began to be proclaimed, I could witness that God's doing powerful stuff here. Stuff that I haven't seen inside of churches. Stuff that seems so legitimate. See, the problem is, as believers, sometimes we get into this habit of chasing signs. The Bible didn't say believers would chase signs and wonders. It doesn't say that anywhere. But what it does say is that signs and wonders would follow believers. Mark 16:20 says, Jesus sent the disciples out to minister, and says, "Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere." Notice that. They preached everywhere. Where they preached? The kingdom of God. So the main emphasis, their job, their mission was to preach, to witness, to tell people. It says, "And the Lord worked with them." Not they didn't do it. It says the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Can I say this? That when we get good at presenting the gospel, things happen. When we step out of our comfort zone and we start letting people know about the love of Jesus, things will happen. I believe that with all my heart. Oh boy, sometimes I don't know what to share because I don't know. Because things get recorded and they get out. But right now we have a guy at our gym, LA Fitness. I'll throw it out there because If you happen to listen to this, bro, we love you. And this is the goal of sharing it. We have a guy that has decided to wear a Satan Loves Me t-shirt during our workout time. Gracie, you saw him the other day. And I've been noticing he's been wearing it, and I think he gets the idea that there are plenty of Christians that are at the gym, so I think he's making a statement towards us. And we were all deadlifting this Friday, and he come walking up with Satan Loves Me t-shirt, and I just want to be like, give him the little, hey, just break the ice. That guy gave me the meanest look. Angry. I was like, whoa, something's there. He's been hurt by one of us. And you know what? I have full confidence. There's a story there that's going to be cooler than something we could experience here. As God's people reach out to this young man and love him and believe that one day he'll be wearing the banner, Jesus Loves Me. Something cool there. That stuff doesn't happen every day here. But can I say that as God's people, when we step out of our comfort zone, and we don't have to know all the verses in the world. You know the verses I knew when I started writing them on the wall? Very few. In fact, I looked most of them up. I didn't know any verses. I was just like, okay, I heard about the Romans Road. Let's go for it. It's not a matter about how equipped you are. It's this. Are you a child of God? Are you born of the Spirit of God? If that's the case, you have everything you need. And if you just say, Lord, I feel dry and dusty, or I've never experienced you fully, today come to him and say, would you fill me with your presence? Would you saturate me with you? Not so I can just have good feelings, not so I can have goosebumps, not so I can have a good church service, but so that I can be effective for your glory. Because every day you live in a war zone. You live in a spiritual war zone that's life or death. It's eternity for some. And we have to show up with the Holy Spirit of God alive, that you're aware of his presence in your life and you've asked him to use you. Now, sometimes we think, okay, this is just all peaches and cream, but I want to read an example. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, so that when you leave here today and you're like, okay, I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to empower me to witness. Some of you believe that. How many believe that? That God wants to use your life. If you're a Christian here, this should ring true to you. You're going to leave here and you're like, okay, God, tomorrow, Tuesday, I'm going in and I'm going to let you use me. And I'm going to speak up when I have the chance. I'm going to do what you direct me to do and invite you, Holy Spirit, to give me the opportunity. And if you pray that prayer, I promise you this, God will have something happen. Now, you're going to be waiting for this exciting story like I shared, like, what did you do to Bob? You're going to be looking for that story right away. Can I tell you for every what did you do to Bob story? I had 100 ones that weren't so exciting. It's just true. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul approved of their killing him. That's Stephen. They stoned Stephen. On that day, great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. Great persecution's not fun. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria, meaning they were running for their lives. They weren't like, well, it's tough here. Let's go. They were running for their lives. Verse 2, godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. This again, there's a lot of grief in these sentences. There's a lot of loss. There's a lot of like, wow, that's a setback. There's a lot of like, man, where is God in this? Verse 3, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. This seems like it's gone from bad to worse. Verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. I don't see a plan there. They're running for their lives. Hey, I'm running for my life. Let's stop here in Samaria and just preach. It wasn't clean. It wasn't tidy. How many would rather have a great strategy other than running for your life? And God's going to use me while I run for my life. That's exactly what's happening here. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. They preached wherever they went, and with Philip in particular, it says he started preaching. It didn't say he started with signs and wonders. It didn't say he started with the power. He started preaching. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of the many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city. I just want to point out, signs and wonders follow those who preach, not the other way. If you find yourself having exciting church services, but never anything outside the walls of a church, you're probably misguided at some point. I'd rather have church services that are more boring than watching paint dry and all of us leave here with a powerful action or a powerful word or a powerful encounter with God outside the walls. It would be like when I was in the military, we had this leave. And I was so excited to go home to Christmas and see Cindy, which is now my wife. And man, I missed her. And I was in shape. I lost all my weight. And I was like, she's going to think I'm like a beautiful butterfly that came out of my chubby cocoon. And then I jumped right back into my cocoon. But anyway, at the time, for that moment in life, I was like, and I'm excited to see Cindy. And I was with a buddy that was in my unit. And down the hallway at this airport, it's a very large airport in Atlanta, looking down the hall, and I'm like, I think I know that guy. But I was thrown off because I like to say I was a chair-borne ranger. That means I worked on a stool. We did avionics. We repaired equipment and Blackhawks and Hueys and that kind of a thing. And we weren't combatants. But back in the day, if you wore your jump boots, if you bloused your trousers and your jump boots, it meant you were with a jump unit. You were with the airborne. And if you had a blue braid on your shoulder, it meant that you were infantry. And we saw this, and you had a bray on. Yeah, this guy's airborne, and he's got his jump boots. And as he got closer, we're like, hey, that's Grossman. I hope you listen to this, Grossman. It was a dude in our unit. He did what we did. He wasn't airborne. He wasn't infantry. He didn't win all these medals. He dressed up like Rambo. And we saw him. He even gave himself a promotion. He was a sergeant. We were all privates. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? He could have died. He did not expect to meet us, man. He expected to meet loved ones like, yes, I am Rambo. And he wasn't. And I feel like oftentimes when we try to be really good at church, but really bad at evangelism, we're like a PX soldier. We're like the guy playing Rambo. We're like little kids doing dress up and pretending. When all along, empowerment of the Holy Spirit was meant to be used to allow your life to be effective. I don't care if you know how to have good church. What I would really love for you to have are powerful words outside this church. What I'd really love for you to have is victorious thinking outside this church. What I'd really love for you to have is the ability to sense God's presence in your house. What I'd really love for you to have are stories of friends that have come to Jesus and stories of when you thought there's no way God made a way and you're like, wow, that could only be God. You will never get live ammunition in the barracks. You only get the live ammunition out on the battlefield. And the battlefield's not here, it's there. And the Holy Spirit didn't come and fill you and transform you and lead you and guide you so you could just have good feelings. He did these things so you could have good effect. And you could be powerful in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20 says this: the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but power. This isn't just something we discuss or chat or argue about. I hate when people argue about theology. Well, do you have the Holy Spirit at salvation, or do you have the Holy Spirit later? Do you have this? Do you have that? And everybody's arguing about things, living completely powerless, non-filled lives when we all need to come before the Lord and say, Lord, would you just saturate my life with you because I need you. I need your presence. I need your peace. I need the fruit you bring to my life. And I need the effect you bring in my life. I need to be effective. And this is what I know. My personality is way different than JT's, and his is way different than Craig's, and Craig's is way different than Molly's. We're all different people. So how God uses you could be entirely different than how God might use one of these people. But make no mistake about it, God will use you. The Holy Spirit will work in you and through you how he made you. He just will. So today I would love for us to close this like this. I would love for us to invite the Holy Spirit to come and just saturate our lives and use us. Not for feeling's sake, but let's pretend we were the last ones that heard Jesus' words like those people were. And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you to be my witness. Here at home, here next door, here in our country, and around the world. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you to fill us. Lord, we are tired of living powerless lives, lives that are dry and dusty. Lord, would you come and would you fill us with you? Lord, we're tired of living lives that have no stories, that have no effect. Lord, would you enable us to be used by you? Empower us, Lord, to speak words. Empower us, Lord, to impact our world. In the mighty name of Jesus. God is faithful. I'm going to stop with this quick story. I remember early in those days, I stopped off at our little church, and it was in Illinois, so it was cold and dark. And it was scary because old churches have creeks and things in it. So I would come in there early in the morning before I went to work and pray, and I was by myself. And sometimes I'd be scared. You hear creak, and you're like, whoa, what is that? I mean, because this is a church I grew up in as a kid, and they cast devils out there. And you're like, whoa, I don't know, what's going on? But all joking aside, this one particular morning I was praying, God, would you just use my life today? I asked him, Lord, would you use me? And I sensed God in such a real way tell me that he would, that I was going to be able to share his love with somebody that day. And I knew that I knew, and I was so full of faith and excitement. And I left for work that day, and I picked up my job order, and it sent me to like a third level basement elevator room to terminate like 1,000 pair of cable. That's not good. If you're believing that God is going to put you with someone all day long to witness, and you just got put in the darkest, deepest hole in the company, in a closet by yourself, you're like, okay. And I thought I knew what I heard the Lord say, and I'm in there terminating my cable, like, God, I trust you, you know, okay. And the door opens up, and there is this guy cussing his face off. He's like, why the blank am I down here doing this PM on an elevator cable in the middle of this blah, 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 blah? He didn't know, but I knew. God directed him to be stuck with me all day long. Just me and this guy. And you know what? I didn't have to think about how to work it out. It was as if it was falling off a log. God opened a door to share the love of Jesus with this guy. And it was a really, really cool day as this guy just embraced the love of God in this dirty basement. And I was like, God, you're able. And can I say that as you leave this place and you begin to pray, God, would you use my life? Buckle up. You'll see, you may get scared, and I'm not even going to blame you if you get the opportunity and you're like, nope, nope, it's okay. Your salvation, God's love for you is not based upon you being perfect at this. Understand that. But will you get opportunities? Absolutely. And I'm excited for you. How many are excited yet scared? Right. but you don't have to be anything that you're not already. God's not going to say, you don't have to go be like Trev, like, I'm going to write a verse on the wall. No, don't do that. Or I'm going to go just talk to some. You'll know. You be you and let God use you the way he would use you. And take the pressure off. Because it's not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. God's doing this work. Unless the Lord builds the house. You're not building this. You're just saying, okay, God, I'll go along. So let's 100% close this way. Will you stand with me? And I want to pray one more word of prayer for you. And then we'll get out of here. Father, I pray you bless your people. Give them courage and strength to hear you speak and to know that you're working not just in them, but through them. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Crossings Church podcast. We meet at Desert Edge High School on the northwest corner of Yuma and Estrella Boulevard in Goodyear, Arizona. Our service times are 9 o'clock and 10:30. Do you have kids? Bring them to our kids' service at 10:30 a.m. You can find us at www.crossingschurchaz.org. Thank you for listening to this week's message. God bless and have a great week.